Castlandia. It's Flame here, and this time I have Tisfin and 27 Dragons with me today. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you guys again so much for joining us. I think I've said that 6 times in this call already, but I really am so excited. The way we kind of start all interviews here and all conversations on podcast is to talk about fandom origin stories. And so I'd love to hear from you guys, maybe what your names mean or how you got into Marvel, and just kind of walk us through that.
So I got into Marvel right as the second Iron Man movie came out. My then husband, now ex, really wanted to watch it, and I was not that excited, but we sat down and watched it anyway, and I got so totally hooked, and I've been hooked ever since. So I was a huge Marvel fan since that point, and then I didn't really get into the fandom side of things until, and this is Tisfin's fault, is she was looking, she sent me this artwork that she found that was really, it was just amazingly gorgeous. And when I went to look at it, it turned out it was actually artwork for a story. So I went to read the story that it went with. And I think I then spent the next 2 months solid doing nothing but reading fanfic. So
we've all,
and that was a trick line into writing my own. So.
Okay. Yep. And what's the 27 Dragons?
I have been a dragon fanatic since I was like 14. 27 is my favorite number because it is 3 cubed, because I'm a math nerd.
I love it. I was kind of one, like every time I think your name, I think of that Katherine Heigl movie. So I'm really glad to have a different story to replace it with now. And Tisfin, what about you?
Okay. So I'm going to start with the name. Because this goes way back. My name is Kelly Lynn Townsend Stafford Hicks.
That's a lot
of nobody
names.
Nobody calls me that. Everybody calls me KT. And inevitably, the first thing that somebody says when I say, hi, my name is KT, is, oh, KT, what does that stand for? And like, I'm always like, yeah, okay, if I wanted to tell you that, I would have said that. And my grandfather, who I'm named after, his name was Townsend as well, started calling me Tisfin. These initials stand for absolutely nothing.
I love it.
It takes a pause, doesn't it?
I love it.
So that's where the name comes from, and I am literally Tisfin everywhere. If you see a Tisfin, that's me.
I love it. So then Marvel came about a little bit before Dragons, clearly, because she just told us that you brought her into it. So did it start with one of the movies for you?
I've been in love with RDJ since I saw Weird Science when I was like 12.
Fair.
So like I watched everything that he was in ever, like even the second movie with Tommy Lee Jones, the Fugitive movie that he was
in.
Yeah,
the sequel, the terrible one. Yeah.
Terrible, terrible movie. So when I heard that he was getting back into movies, I was like, okay, I don't know anything about Marvel at this point besides X-Men, but sure, why not? Let's go see a Marvel movie. And I really liked Iron Man 1, but I didn't get into fandom until, weirdly enough, after Dragons.
Okay.
I showed her the picture that I saw because one of my friends showed it to me, and I was like, oh, look, this is so cute and sexy. It's actually a Frost Iron picture.
Okay, sure.
Which neither of us really read anymore, but
it was Frost Shield.
This is what?
It was Frost Shield.
Frost Shield? Okay.
Yeah.
But in any case, the picture didn't have anything to do with fandom. Dragons got into fandom and she started writing fandom stuff, and I had complained because we do, you know, paid published writing. I was like, all of a sudden, you're not writing anything. Where did you go? And she's like, I didn't go anywhere. I'm just doing fandom stuff now. And I was like, well, show it to me, damn it. So she started filtering her Winter Iron stuff through me back when she was writing Murderers and Thieves. I was like 3 chapters ahead of everybody else because I got to read them in advance. And I was extremely snarky about that to some of my friends. And she just sort of got me into it after that. I went through a period where I was having some depression issues and I wasn't sleeping. And so I was like, I want to write fandom stuff. Why don't you help me with that? And that became Winter is Coming, which is the piece that we wrote first together.
That's a great one too. I didn't know it was your first one. It's one of the first ones I read, but I didn't know that was your first one together.
Yep.
So you guys had been collabing on paid fiction before this. When did that relationship start?
1991.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
February 1991. I sat down next to her at breakfast. We had a class together, only she didn't know it because I sat behind her. And I sat down next to her at breakfast and said something about the book she was reading and complained about class. And she was very nice and polite and didn't throw her book at me. And pretty much by the end of that conversation, we were friends.
And then, so I'm assuming that was college or university. Mm-hmm. And then the writing started within college, or did you guys, within college, I'm seeing some nods. I have some video feeds.
We were both writing independently well before college. For both of us goes back to, when we were like 6. So when we became friends, we started showing each other the stuff that we had been writing individually and offering critiques and that kind of thing. And then we were on, and this was in the early 90s, so it wasn't really, social media wasn't really a thing, but the college had a BBS system, and a bunch of us had a role-playing channel on the BBS. And so we started together writing stories about our characters for that role-playing game.
So the fandom collaboration has been happening for a long time. It was not always Tony and Bucky, essentially, is what I'm hearing.
Hey, if you go back and you read some of our old stuff, I'd be pretty hard-pressed to say that Kevel and Dia were not Tony and Bucky.
Interesting.
Pretty close, yeah.
They had some very similar characteristics to Tony.
It's not who we were thinking of at the time, but yeah.
That's fascinating. So then this leads into 2 kind of separate conversations for me. I'm really interested in y'all's process of collaboration. And then I'm also really interested in the process of kind of moving between paid fic, fanfic, then taking fanfic and make it paid fic and all that. So what I would like to talk about first is the process of collaboration, and then we'll get to that other conversation. So we've talked to, like on this episode, we've also talked to Ferret and Ashes, who have a very, like, they're both in the dock at the same time, and they kind of do that all together. Is that how you guys do it, or do you write chunks separately and then, like, tag the other person in? How does it work?
It started because Dragons didn't like to write while I was watching her.
Okay.
I've never had a problem with somebody standing over me and looking at what I was doing, unless it was my husband, who I would really rather Mr. Tisfin not read over my shoulder.
Fair. This is a common feeling in fandom. Yeah.
He knows what I do. He's been very supportive through the whole thing. He's just not interested.
Yeah. Mr. Flynn's similar. So.
But Dragons didn't always feel comfortable with me watching her. So she would write like 2 pages or so, and then she'd let me know that she'd written, and I would come in and I would read that, and I would squish dialogue around and stuff like that. There's actually, if you go back and you look in the comments of Winter is Coming, I yelled at her because she was dilly-dallying about writing something else. And I commented in the comments that I was impatiently waiting for her to finish this other thing. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That's not so much a problem we have anymore. So.
No, we sit in the document together now, and we take turns, and we go back and we edit stuff, and we're like, I don't like where this is going. Can we just take all this out and start over again?
Yeah, it's very much, I mentioned before we started writing for role-playing characters, and our writing process still is very much almost a role-play, where Tisfin writes Bucky, and I write Tony, And then we pick up the other characters sort of on a as needed basis. And we just sort of have conversations back and forth between, you know, whatever character we're currently handling. Tisvin does way more of the side information and info dumps and background and descriptions and like 90% of any sort of action slash combat, because I'm terrible at that. But mostly what it is a conversation between our characters at any given moment.
Fascinating.
And Justice does literally all of our math and science-based gobbledygook, because she knows how to make the gobbledygook sound real, where to me it's just words.
And then the sex scenes, are they both you guys too? Does one of you prefer to write one over the other? Did, like, no, you're both into everything.
We're both in there.
Great.
We write it together. Yeah, it's like us, it's very much a conversation.
Fascinating. Okay. And when, like, you guys do publish work solo and not just as your collaboration, do you, like, is there a process for that? Like, hey, I'd really like to like these characters. Do you want to write with me? Or do you just kind of like go off and do your own thing? Like, what's the difference, I guess?
When we do our published work, if it's not something that we've pre-written as a fanfic and then filed the serial numbers off of, we mostly do that by ourselves.
Okay.
We did write a series of books together back in like the late 90s. They were terrible. Good ideas, but they were terrible. And I'm not even sure we have copies of them anymore.
I still have it. Okay. I still have that like 4-inch binder where we marked everything up, in fact.
Oh my Christ.
These are some painful memories we're digging up, I can tell.
Well, I mean, we were always into the whole idea of non-cis, non-normative relationships. The books that we wrote were basically threesomes.
Okay.
Two guys and a girl, and the world that they lived in and stuff like that. But, you know, back in the 90s, we couldn't find a publisher for that.
Oh, of course not. Yeah.
And even if we could have, I'm glad we didn't, because they're terrible.
Fair. So this leads into really well. So when you guys file the serial numbers off, do you always go to the same publisher? Like,
yeah.
Okay. And who's your publisher? Can you remind me?
JMS Books. And JM is also a fic writer who has polished serial numbers. And she runs the publishing house, and she lives about an hour away from Dragons and 2 hours away from me. And we've both met her, and she's really cool.
The term polishing the serial numbers off, do you guys know the etymology of that?
I assume it's because somebody stole a car.
Okay.
Well, that's what you do with a car. When you steal a car, you polish the VIN numbers off so that nobody knows that you stole it.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure how that relates to taking fanfic and then publishing it as paid fiction. I wasn't sure if there's an origin story for that.
I think it's just a general term for you have to make sure that everything that could be identifiable is removed.
Got it.
So we change names and we change situations and we take out all the little call outs. If there was a little call out there that goes back to the movies, we have to take that out and replace that line.
And I know you've done that with the Sandbridge Fix series, correct? Mm-hmm. Are there any others that you guys have done that with?
We did Say the Word, which is a BDSM fic where they mostly screw up.
Okay.
It's
we felt there needed to be more safe word usage in fic.
Yeah.
So the original fic is called Stop the World, I Want to Get Off.
Okay.
And it's a Tony Bucky piece where they basically experiment with BDSM, and it doesn't always go well.
Interesting.
And we have DOMs having to safe word out and subs having to safe word out and aftercare pieces and the whole nine yards.
So one of the other pieces of this conversation, though, is that there are people with some very strong feelings about the ethics of filing the serial numbers off. And I'm sure you guys have had to have those conversations. So what is your response to that?
Sorry, I'm laughing because Tisvin is flipping off the video camera while we're recording this. We kind of feel it's original work that we wrote. So as long as we are not actually trying to make money because it's Marvel, right? So we're not selling the story as a Marvel product. So we're not trying to make money, we're not trying to pull people in to buy our product because it's a Marvel product. We're trying to get people to buy our product because it's something we wrote. I don't see that there's any moral obligation on our part to abstain from that. When we came up with the whole, premise and we wrote the story, and just because we changed the names now, it's, as long as it's not recognizably Marvel, I don't see an issue, quite frankly.
Morally, I don't see an issue with this because has anybody read Dante's Inferno around here?
That's a very fair retort, yes.
Has anybody seen Simba, the Lion King, which is based on a Japanese cartoon? People writing fanfic being something immoral is new to the last, 70 years when they extended copyrights.
Yeah, this is a copy, an intellectual property conversation, not a story conversation. Yeah. So interesting. Well, I guess just I'd love to hear from you guys if there's anything particular about why Winter Iron works for you guys the best. Is it because of you think of the role-playing characters that you already have? But in my mind, if I was going to introduce anybody to the Winter Iron fandom, it would be through your fics. And so kind of what about them works so well for you?
Here, you answer that question for a minute while I get my thoughts together. I'm probably sure I have a different answer than you do.
I kind of came into it, personally, I came into it a little bit sideways. When I was doing my glut of reading, when I first really stumbled into fandom as a thing, I started out mostly with Steve Tony fix, and then Winter Soldier came out and there was this huge explosion of Steve Bucky fix, which made sense based on how the movie went. And then there were some people, because those were the two big ships in the Marvel fandom right then. And so people started mashing them together to get threesomes out of it, which also made sense to me. And when I started writing Murderers and Thieves, it was supposed to end up as Steve and Sam and Natasha was supposed to be the primary ship in that fic, with this sideline of Bucky recovering and then the dualism with Tony. At the time, it was just a theory that Bucky had killed Tony's parents, but it was a pretty prevalent fandom theory. And so I wanted to explore Tony getting to know Bucky a little bit and kind of getting over that hump, and the fact that they both have experienced non-consensual body modifications with the arc reactor in the arm, obviously. So I kind of wanted them to become friends. And the more I wrote it, the more they were like, yeah, no, we're going to take this over now.
They are so opinionated that way, aren't they?
They really are.
So my interest in them goes kind of differently, and I know there's been a lot of meta that goes around on Tumblr about this, is that Bucky and Tony are both very female-coded action heroes. They get a lot of female-coded responses to things. I mean, there are scenes in Iron Man 1 where Obi is just creepy as shit, and it puts off a very boss date rapey kind of vibe thing. Tony's very female coded. Bucky is very female coded. He doesn't get to say much. The number of lines that Bucky has in the films that Bucky is in is tiny. Which, if you go back and say, look at things like the original Batman, if you go back to Michael Keaton's Batman, and you look at how many lines Batman has, and he's Batman, he's very taciturn, versus how many lines Vicky Vale has. So I see both of them as being very feminine coded, which makes them easier for me to write, but they're both men, so I don't have to deal with the whole weird power issue of having, a guy and a girl, because if you read romance, there's just a lot of baggage that goes along with your standard heterosexual relationships that I have sometimes have trouble relating to the female character who gets this much lines. So I like them together because they make sense. And they give me what I think is a balanced relationship.
That's fascinating. I never thought about Bucky as female coded at all. Have definitely thought about Tony that way. But when you said that, my brain was like, oh, that could work. Yeah. So that's interesting. And I definitely, for me, the Winter Iron is about the non-consensual body modification and them both being nerds. And the idea, like, my thing is always it was Bucky who dragged Steve to the expo, and that's that's one of the biggest pieces of Bucky's origin story we have, I guess, in a way. So that's fascinating. So now is the time of our conversation, always with our kind folks who give me their time, to hear if you've got any recommendations for our listeners, any fandom, any ship, just things that you've been enjoying recently or your all-time faves that you'd like to recommend.
My Tumblr recently, I've been doing this thing since about January of trying to read more. I get so caught up in creation that sometimes I forget that other people can create things. So I actually have it on my calendar. I'm bipolar, so I have to have a calendar or I seriously start losing my shit. So my calendar tells me literally everything that I'm doing, down to read one chapter or one fic and make a comment. That's every 3 days. Read one comic book every 3 days. Those are things that I do. Watch a television show every 3 days. And that way I kind of keep stuff going. So I keep my brain going. I keep my mental processes going. I literally have to schedule in taking vacation or a sick day. If I don't schedule those things, I drive myself crazy about not working for that day. So my Tumblr recently has had my recommendations for reading list. So every time I read something, if I like it, it gets wrecked on Tumblr. And I put this out like once a week or once every 10 days or so. That's just the list of the things that I've read this week that I've liked. And that's been really popular. The people who I recommend their fix have been very excited to see that. So that's always fun.
Yes, as somebody you were kind enough to recommend once, I squealed very loudly. So thank you. Very, very loudly.
Just recently, I went back. I kind of needed some comfort reading. So I went back and I reread Deep in the Heart of Me, which is Finley Hone's piece. And it was the first fic that I read that wasn't Dragons' work.
Okay, that's special.
So I went back and I reread the whole thing again.
Yeah, at the time, actually, when Finley Hone wrote that, she and I were both moderators for Imagine Tony and Bucky, the blog. And so I got to watch her write that more or less in real time, because she would come on the mod chat and scream about how that was going, which is funny because it's not even a Tony and Bucky story. It's Steve Tony. But I saw being written. That's a really good story. Yeah. And I'm very sad that Finley Hone seems to have dropped out of the fandom. The thing that I've been reading lately that I'm very excited about is Riley's paren that gay barfic by Orbing Arrow. She actually wrote it, I want to say like a year ago, maybe more. And then she kind of dropped out of sight for a while. And then just recently she popped back up and has started reposting it. And I think basically she's posting a chapter a day for this month for Pride. But I'm so super excited that she brought that fic back, because I loved it the first time she posted it. So I'm just sort of eagerly devouring every chapter each day.
Well, that's exciting. I have that. I don't read whips because I have a terrible, terrible memory.
I usually don't, but there are occasions where I make exceptions.
And once a day is certainly an exception. So I am subscribed to that one. So I'm waiting eagerly to see that 30 out of 30. So I can't wait for that. Well, is there anything else that you guys would like to say about writing together or about your favorite boys before we sign off?
I do want to, we get lots of people who tell us, who say things like your fic is so polished, I could never do that. And I just want to really repeat, we started writing together in 1991, and we had been writing on our own for some time before that. And you heard Tisfin say, the thing that we wrote together in the late 90s was crap. So this is not, we are just sort of naturally excellent writers. This is many, many years of a lot of writing and lots of work. And I really feel strongly about that, that nobody should say, I don't write as well as this person who's been doing it for 30 years, therefore I shouldn't even bother. I really feel like everybody should bother. Write your thing and post it. I've read so many really excellent stories that were maybe not as polished as they could have been, but I really loved them anyway. Please write your thing.
Yes, what a great note to end on. More cake is a motto of Pottscast, and we strongly encourage it. Shoot your shot, share your story. We all want to read it. So once again, Tisfin and Dragons, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.